It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Hey, welcome to the Amber May Show. I'm so glad you're here with me. There's been so much that has gone on, and I can't wait to share it with you. Things that I have dealt with and learned and had to live through, I guess, in some ways and another. But I want to tell you about something that's really blessed my heart, and that has been Young Living Essential Oils. They have been so awesome during my pregnancy with my son, and they've helped us get over some illnesses quicker. They've helped me, I feel like, protect my body because, you know, during pregnancy, you don't want to get sick. So when my child did get sick from preschool, they were protecting my body. I don't know how else to describe it because I've been the only one home with her and nursing her through her illness. So I haven't contracted it, which is great. I'd love you to check out my website, infoonoils.com. Infoonoils.com. I want you to be blessed just like I have. These are oils that are derived from plants, trees, and shrubs. These are things that God blessed us with for our health and for our well-being. And I want you to enjoy what I've just come to love. One of my favorites is Thieves. Thieves really protects and promotes well-being. It helps with protects your body and against invaders. So it really helps support the immune system is what I'm trying to say. Not so many beautiful words. That's one of my favorites. And I love Stress Away. My husband puts that on when it gets just really stressful at work. So that's that. Anyway, visit my website, infoonoils.com. Wow, a lot of things have come across my desk. For instance, you know, I see some trends and some threads online about people really getting hurt by other members of at church. And then the natural inclination is to leave. Well, they hurt me so bad, I'm just going to leave the church and find something else. And I get it. I mean, that's your natural instinct is to leave. I totally get it. But is that the right thing to do? And is the right thing to do always easy? And the answer is no. The right thing to do is sometimes really hard. Because no matter what happens, you're just going to run into that same problem somewhere else at another church. So then we become these church hoppers And it's not like I haven't been there and felt it. Oh, I've been there and felt it. I know exactly what it feels like when someone at church hurts you. And you just feel like, why is this happening? It shouldn't happen. I shouldn't feel so hurt at church. People should be this way and be more Christ-like. And I can't believe that this happens. And people say the wrong things and they do the wrong things. And sometimes it's totally unintentional. Sometimes it is intentional. But what are we supposed to do about that? Just run? Because God knows it's hard. It is so hard to go back to church when people in church have hurt you. Because that's a close personal relationship you've built at church. You feel like this is your extended family, or they should be your extended family. Because when crap hits the ceiling, it's your church family that should be there for you. And, I mean, with your natural family, of course, but your church family should be there for you. And I get it. I get why people want to leave when they get hurt. I get it. I totally get it. It's not easy to go back. But the way I saw it when I got hurt by some people at church is, well, maybe it wasn't malicious. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. And two, I'm just going to go somewhere and get hurt again by somebody else. Because let's face it, we're all imperfect people. And because of our imperfection, we do things that are not perfect. And we end up hurting people. You're always going to end up hurting somebody somewhere down the road. I've done it. You've done it. And you know what? When we hurt people, at least when I've hurt people, I feel horrible about it. I feel absolutely horrible. I don't think any good person deep down really enjoys hurting people. There's some malicious people out in this world, so let's be real about that. But we're talking about the average person, I don't really feel goes out of their way to hurt people. And when they do, I feel like they genuinely feel sorry about it. And when you approach them and say, hey, this really bothered me when you did this. These actions hurt me when you did this. I think that those people would want your forgiveness. And especially if they're members of your church, the right thing to do would be to talk to them one by one and say, hey, this really hurt me. I'm sure your intention wasn't blah, blah, blah. But when you did it, it really hurt me to the core. And I would suspect that they would say, I'm sorry, and want to restore that relationship. Then what the Bible teaches us is if we don't do it that way, we cause more problems, more heartache. We leave the church with a bad taste, with hurt feelings, and sometimes it sticks with us for the rest of our life, and that's not good. You know, apologizing and reconciling relationships is to help us in the long run. It's to get rid of all this guilt or hurt that plagues our body, because God doesn't want us to go around being hurt all the time. That's not part of his plan. You know, he wants us to be in a right relationship with him and each other. So going to that person and saying, hey, I'm really hurt by what you did. And I had to go, when I got hurt by people at church, I had to go in with the expectation. I wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt that they weren't trying to hurt my feelings. I was really trying to put that in my mind. Because I don't think any of them are bad. I really don't. And I would hope that someone would give me that benefit of the doubt too. That if I offended someone and I hurt someone, I would hope that they would think enough to try and see that I am not a bad person and it wasn't my intention to hurt you. I would just hope I would get that benefit. Not saying that the hurt's not going to be there, but I would hope in their mind they would try and think, okay, I don't think this is a bad person, so I don't think their intentions were to hurt me, and let it be so. And sometimes we get hurt when things are not in God's timing. So perhaps we really think this is what we're called to do, such and such, in church, right? And then something happens and we don't end up running that particular ministry. Well, maybe it's God's timing. Maybe God knows something in your future that you don't know about. And maybe God's just keeping that ministry going until you're able to give it your all because of whatever circumstance might be coming your way. And that could be it too. You know, and we look at it like, oh, so-and-so just doesn't like me and doesn't want me to be in leadership. Maybe that's not true. Maybe God put on their heart, at least for the time, so that whatever was going to come up in your future, you could deal with it with 100% focus instead of being torn in different directions. So that could be a possibility too. You know, so I always want to say we should try and take the emotions out. And as women especially, it's hard because we are emotional people. So trying to take emotions out to try and think logically is so hard for women. Whew, I guess that's where guys benefit a little bit more. Because not that they're not emotional, but they have, you know, they're more logical than us females. And I think that could be a real blessing. Sometimes it'd be nice to be a man. You think about that sometimes. Because, you know, God blesses men with a whole bunch of wonderful attributes. You know, they're more logical, which helps make good decisions to lead families in the right direction. And frankly, you can't have two emotional people running the household, right? So there's a lot of good things that men offer. I love the fact that men make women feel safe. They really do. Deep down, they really do. When a man does what he needs to do, as the Lord directed him to do, which kind of leads me to my next topic. You know, God set out a map for us to follow. And he didn't do that because he wanted to be this dictator, but he did it because he wanted to love us. And I didn't really understand God as much as I did after becoming a parent. Not saying you can't understand God when you're not a parent. But as a parent, I got a deeper revelation on God, and I didn't just look at him from a child, a father perspective, which is the viewpoint I had. I looked at him as more of an authority, just like, you know, I have a father on earth, and I was his daughter, so I'd look to him with authority. I would look to God as a provider. I look to God as someone who did care and love me, like a dad. So I had the idea of God based on daughter-to-father relationship. Then, when I became a parent, my eyes were open to what parents go through with their kids and how much love parents have towards their kids. And it's not easy, I don't care how old your child is, to raise your kid. I know a lot of parents especially can say that for teenagers. But my 3-year-old, I mean, has a will of her own, and she wants to do what she wants to do. And that's not going to fly. Why is not going to fly? Because I am older, I'm wiser, I know what will protect her. She doesn't know the dangers that are out there. She doesn't understand. Okay, bedtime is, if you don't go to bed at this time, and we have to wake up early, you're going to be exhausted and cranky all day for mom. So that's not good. You know, your kids can only stay up so late during the day because you know the next day what is in store for them. You know the things that are going to hurt them. You try and teach them about stranger danger, and you teach them about, you know, just the daily task of growing up, about changing your clothes and going to the bathroom and eating properly, because nutrition plays a big part of your health. The older you get, the more nutrition base, having good nutrition depends on your health. I mean, so you're raising these kids with the wills of their own, and you love them so much. You don't want any pain to come to them. But they think they know better than you at times. And you're just like, really, kid? Oh my God, this decision you're going to make is going to have this, this, and this consequence. So you teach them from a very young age about consequences. Because every decision we have has good and bad consequences. So God lays it out on the line for us in his word. And he's like, do this and your life will be well. Do this and your life will be full of sorrow. And I've had people that I know go through such sorrow. And it hurts my heart because they've made decisions that weren't the decisions God would have had them make. And as that happens, there was consequences. And their hearts got broken. And they've had more stress on their life. And it affected their children and their families. And if we just lived in that relationship and understanding, okay, why does God want us to have a family, a husband, before we get married? Why? Well, when we have a husband, or before we have kids, I'm sorry, that didn't make any sense. When we find a husband or a wife before we have children, we're going to have a little less heartache in life. Because once my husband became a father, he loved me on a different level, and he may never know. And I've told him this, but he may not understand. I don't know what it's like to be a man, but I do know what it's like to be a woman and bear a child. And that man loves that kid with everything in his heart. And when that happens, I feel loved. When I see my husband love our daughter, my heart sings. My heart is filled. I feel so much love. And then I thought of the opposite of what happens to women who get wrapped up and they love the guy and they get passionate with him and then have a child. And if that guy is not around for that child, whether at that moment or later on in the relationship, it made me sad for those women because you love your kid with everything inside of you. You went through all the pain of giving birth to the child. You went through all the uncomfortable parts of the 9 months of holding your child in your womb. You bonded with that child. You know, you would feel it move. And as soon as you become pregnant, it's impossible not to start loving your baby. Your mind starts shifting. You no longer just think about yourself, but what are you going to do to help your child survive? What are you going to do to ensure that your child has the best nutrition and is well taken care of while it's inside of you growing? So you start this relationship and this love and this protection the second you get that positive sign on that pregnancy test. And so when these men, I don't want to say reject, but it kind of feels that way. When these men do not love your kid like you do, it feels like they've rejected you. And that's not what God wanted, you know. He didn't want that to hurt you. He didn't want you to feel that rejection. And then if the father is not around, the kid grows up without a dad, and his whole life he feels rejected deep down, or she does, on a certain level. I mean, yes, your kid will feel loved because you love your kid. But then on a certain level, you can't help ask, why didn't my dad want me? Why didn't my dad want to have a relationship with me? It's just natural. And so that wasn't God's design either, for the kid to feel that way. So he knew this was going to happen, and he knows man's heart because he created man. He knew exactly what men will think. He knows exactly how women think. So he designed this family so that everyone would feel loved and secure and supported. So he asked us, hey, wait for the passionate love until you get married, because that's the person who's going to cherish it the most, that intimate time, that bonding time that you're going to have with him. Man, this bond of sex is way more than just a pleasure for a moment. It really bonds you. For a female, it really bonds her to that man. She feels so much more loved. But if he doesn't commit to her, it feels cheap. It affects your self-esteem. Contrary to popular belief, women were made for men. And it was from the beginning in Genesis we hear about that. And there's all this controversy now about transgender and homosexuality. And the thing is, I feel like people are not set free from the truth. People can live their life however they want. That's their choice. God gave them the choice. God gave me the choice how I want to live my life. I don't agree with everyone's lifestyle. Even if you are heterosexual, there's a lot of heterosexual lifestyles I don't agree with, because they bring a lot of pain and suffering. I've seen a lot. I've seen friends develop drinking problems because the relationship they're in isn't the relationship that God had designed for them. And they don't know any better. They don't know that they don't open God's word to know that what the best God has for them. They really don't know. And so they develop a drinking problem, not realizing that they're in so much pain and they're numbing it. They just, it's kind of sad because they don't realize what they could have. And why did God design a husband and a wife and that to be sacred between just the two of them? I've been watching polygamy shows. I don't agree with that lifestyle. They're all heterosexual. But I look at the women in some of these shows and they're so hurt because their husbands aren't just for them. And they try and talk themselves out like that's okay, that this is fine. But it's not fine. None of those women are fine with it. They're not happy when their husband goes to the next wife's house and sleeps with her. They get jealous. That's not fine. That's her husband. And her husband is with another woman. That's not fine for them. No matter what they tell themselves, it's hurtful. He isn't just being in a committed relationship with her, being passionate with just her, having kids with just her. Now he has kids with all these women. It doesn't feel good in the heart. But again, they don't know what's God's best for them because they haven't opened the Bible and realized why the parent, the the marriage relationship, why the husband and wife relationship is so important. It's the foundation of any society. When you lose the foundation of family, you lose society. Morality goes down. You know, one thing men are really good about, when you're in the right relationship and when you're in a great marriage that God designed for us, when we follow that path, men bring great morality. They instill, like I said, going back to Genesis, going back to the beginning when God created the earth and he created the first human beings and he made that a marriage relationship. He made a woman out of a man's rib and he said, Adam, this is your wife. This is for you. This is going to be your helper. And ever since then, women were made for man. Whether you want to agree with that or not, it's just the truth. And we get our self-esteem. Women gain self-esteem from men. And the first man that will ever make a woman or provide a woman with good self-esteem is her father. If her father can make her feel beautiful and loved and cared for, then she will make better choices in her future about her future mates. If her father has a nonchalant attitude, doesn't really demonstrate how much he thinks of her, or isn't around, she's going to make poor choices when it comes to men. Because she's going to be seeking any man to give her that self-esteem that only, I don't want to say that only men can provide, but there's a special place that's in a woman's heart that's for a man. And that person is first her father and then her husband. And when that husband can make her feel beautiful and make her feel loved, then she feels good and she can be a better wife. When he doesn't make her feel good, maybe he yells at her, screams at her, takes her for granted. If he doesn't treat her the way God had intended him to treat her, she's not going to be the best version of herself. She just won't. Because a woman gets her self-esteem from a man. And when you're in a right relationship and you're looking at what God asks us to do and has us live as a wife, how do you take care of your husband? Well, the Bible says don't nag him. The Bible says that we need to provide for, take care of our family, nurture our family. If you want to see what a good woman is, read Proverbs 31. She is smart. She has good business sense. She respects her husband. She takes care of her household. When you don't do those things, then you don't make your husband feel good about himself. And that doesn't help him become a better husband. So when we don't live in the roles that, God says, hey, live this way so you'll be happy and productive. When that doesn't happen, then heartache comes. So you get with the wrong man because you don't feel good about yourself. You have children with men that don't want to be committed to you. It's hard. It's hurtful. It's painful for everybody. But is that the end of the story? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God can provide everything that has been taken from us. He can. If you read Job in the Bible, that man has been through hell and back. He went through everything you can think of. He had disease on him. He went from being rich to being poor. His whole family died. He lost his wife and kids in death. Man, anything that you could think of happened to Job. And God restored everything back to him. So everything that's been taken from you can be restored back to you. And all it takes is you just having a right relationship with God. Committing yourself, saying, hey, this is the way I want to live. I want to live the way you mapped out for me because that's where I'm going to be the most happy. Because the Bible is just a map to say, hey, this is God's best for you. If you want to live it, wonderful. I love that. I'm your parent. I love you more than you know. I know everything about you, he says. I know the hairs on your head. I know when you wake up and when you lay down. I knit you together in your mother's womb. And you know, from being pregnant, every day your baby's developing and changing. And I see that in my mind when I go to ultrasounds and I see what God has done with my child, from cells to feet to head to hands to ears to brains to skeletals. I mean, when I see him knitting my child together. I see that. It's true. He even died for us. There's no other religion under the earth where God came down because he loved his people so much that he died for them. There's no other religion like that. So, if you want to be restored and have everything that God wants for you, you just have to let him know that you're in pain. And you're hurting, and you want all the promises of God, and you want to have a right relationship with him, and you want to live your life the way God had instructed us to live. Whether that be fixing your relationship at church with people, or just living a right life, raising your kids to be godly, trying to make good decisions for your family. Now, nothing's perfect. We're all going to make mistakes, and you know, marriages are hard. Things happen. But it's not the end of the story just because right now your life is chaotic. God wants to restore everything back to you. Everything. Just let him do it. Just rely on him. Ask him for help. Say, I want to have a right relationship with you. My life's a mess. I don't know where to go from here. Just open your heart up and let him do what parents do best, and that's hug and embrace their children and say, I'll help you. That's what parents love doing, helping their kids. Their kids, they just want their children to succeed in life and do well in life, and when their kids don't, it hits them to the core, and it brings sorrow to their heart when their kids aren't doing right or struggling in life or hurting. All you want to do as a parent is just love your kid and help them. And that's the only thing God wants to do for you. It's not the end of the story. Well, remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you.